Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, I'm sorry, chapter 6. It's verses 12 through 14. We're working our way together through the book of Romans. This morning we want to consider together the good news that sin no longer has control over you. Our text this morning is from the book of Romans chapter 6. We're beginning with verse 12. Let's hear God's word. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Again, let's pray together. Father, there's something that your word does. There's something that your word does when your spirit takes your word in hand and brings it to us. There's something that your word does that doesn't simply remind us of truth, but brings it to bear to our life with grace and power. There's something about the way you use your word to bring life to us, to convey grace and salvation to us, to refresh us. There's something, Lord, that you do with your word. And so we look this morning not only to your word, but we look to you. We look to you to use your word to convey that grace and blessing and gift of salvation to us. For again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever feel like you just can't help yourself? You just can't stop worrying about this situation. You just can't stop thinking about it. Or maybe you can't stop fixating on this problem, or you can't stop thinking about what this lady said to you. I can't believe she said that to me. You know, and maybe you don't even know this woman. You'll never see her again. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, you just need to forget about it and let it go. But it's so hard because it just gets under your skin. Maybe something's weighing on you and it's just so hard. Your mind is just thinking about it all the time, and you know you need to let it go, but sometimes it's just so hard. Maybe there's decisions, maybe some serious changes you need to make in your life. Maybe you just need to be taking better care of yourself. Maybe you need to be getting to bed on time and getting the rest that you need, or eating better, or maybe you've been drinking too much, or you need to get rid of the cigarettes or whatever. So often there's things that we need to do. They're just so hard to do. Maybe there's somebody in your life and you really need to sit down with that person and kind of have a heart-to-heart. Maybe you've been thinking on about it, it's been weighing on you, and you know you need to talk to this person. You just don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to cause her. I just don't want to do it. Sometimes you know there's things you need to do. Just don't want to do it. Sometimes it's so hard, and you feel like you just can't help yourself. This morning, I want to encourage you. Don't let sin control you. Don't let fear, don't let worry, don't let anger, don't let jealousy, don't let sin control your life. Look with me at our text this morning. We're beginning with verse 12. Paul says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body." You know what reign means in this sense, R-E-I-G-N. A king is someone who reigns. A king sits on the throne and reigns. To reign is to be in control, to have authority and to rule. Paul says, don't let sin control your life. Okay? Don't let sin crack the whip. Don't let sin tell you what to do. Don't let sin, okay, pull your chain. Okay? Don't let anything but God's Spirit control you. I mean, obviously we need God's Spirit to control us. We need God to fill us with His Spirit. But don't let anything else, don't let anything but God's Spirit control you. Don't let your anger, don't let your ego, don't let your temper, don't let these things drive and determine and define your life. Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Your body, of course, is good. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. It's a gift. Your body's part of who you are, but your body is mortal. It means it's weak. It's sick sometimes. You have certain limitations, and you know you need to eat. That's a good thing. And God has blessed us with taste buds. We can eat food and really can really enjoy it, but sin wants to use that to make you a pig. You need rest. In fact, some of us you're pushing yourself too hard, and it's no wonder you're just kind of blundering through life because you're exhausted and you can't think clearly. And some of you need to take better care of yourself so that you can be refreshed and you can think clearly and set your mind on the Lord. You need rest, but sin wants to use that to take advantage of that to make you a lazy bum so that you won't get out of bed. Mom's got to come 2, 3, 4 times to try to get you out of bed. Sin wants to work through the weaknesses and limitations of your body to try to control you. Sin wants its hands on the steering wheel of your life. It wants to tell you what to do. Paul says, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't let anything but the Spirit of God control you. Don't let sin boss you around. Well, that's easy to say. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, don't lose your temper. Don't blow up. Don't freak out. Don't panic. But it's another thing to do. When somebody's hurt your feelings or when there's something weighing on you, it's one thing to say, don't worry about it. Don't let sin control you. But it's another, how do I do that in practice? Well, remember what we saw last week. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, if you're trusting, you're relying, that means you're depending on who Jesus is and what he's done and how he died on the cross for us and how he rose again for us. If you believe that and you're trusting in that, then you've been declared righteous. You're not trusting that you're a good enough person. You're not trusting that you're righteous, but you're trusting the fact that Jesus is righteous. And when you trust in the fact that Jesus is righteous, then you're declared righteous. Okay? It's like his righteousness is credited to you. And if you're declared righteous, well, then you have peace with God. Sin is what separates us from God. But if you're declared righteous in the righteousness of Christ, then you're reunited to God. You're restored to God. You have peace with God. And that means sin is not your master anymore. Okay, this is where Paul's been building to for weeks. Remember, he said, compared to the way things were with Adam and Eve in the garden, compared to the way things ought to be, compared to the way things are going to be one day in glory, it's as if sin and death just controls this world. People are controlled by selfishness and impatience and unbelief and greed and lust. But if you're trusting in Jesus, you've been declared righteous. You now have peace with God. You're restored to Christ. Jesus Christ is now your risen Lord. And if Christ is your Lord, sin is not. It's not your master anymore. It has no authority over you anymore. That's what we saw last week. Sin no more has authority over you. It's powerful. It's persuasive. So sin is like that guy in the back seat, the back seat driver. It wants to tell you what to do, but it doesn't have the authority anymore to do it. If Christ is your master, sin is not. You can think of it like this. In the garden, Adam could sin. Okay? He was good, but he wasn't yet perfected. He was able to sin, but he was also able not to sin. Adam did not have a sinful nature, so he was able to sin, but he was also able not to sin. Okay. From a human perspective, it could have gone either way. But then after Adam sinned and the human family fell into sin, now we're not able not to sin. We're born with a sinful nature. We're not able not to sin. Okay, we're going to be worriers, and we're going to be selfish, and we're going to be self-centered because we're fallen, and sinful people sin. Adam was able to sin, able not to sin. We're not able not to sin. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to go out and commit murder, but we're not able to to completely stop sinning because we're sinful. We're not able not to sin. But now that you've come to know Jesus, and Jesus is your Lord, and the Holy Spirit lives within you, well, you're still able to sin. You can still be tempted and you can still sin, but you're also able not to sin. Okay? Okay. Sin wants to control you, but you can say no. That's where Paul is going here, is that sin wants to control your life. It wants to dominate you. Sin wants you to get all worked up so that you embarrass yourself in front of people. Sin wants your life to be ruined. He wants your ego to ruin your life, or your fears, or your anxiety, or your selfishness, or your greed. But you can say no. In Jesus Christ, sin is not your master. It can't tell you what to do. It's going to try, but you don't have to obey. Don't let sin control you, but instead, present yourself to God. This is what Paul says. Verse 13, do not present your members to sin. Now, if you listen to the language in this passage, Paul has already used the word reign, R-E-I-G-N, and obey, and now he uses the word present. All of these are very deliberate words that come from the image of a kingdom and a king. You don't just walk up to a king and say, what's up, dude? You ask for an audience with the king. And then if you're granted audience, you come into the presence of the king and you present yourself. You kneel down before the king and you present yourself before the king and you offer your services to the king. Paul says, don't present your members to sin. That is, don't offer yourself to Lord sin and say, here, sin, use me. When he uses the word members, he means members of your body. Don't offer your hands to sin and say, sin, here, take my hands and, get into trouble. Take my mouth and gossip. Don't bow down to Lord sin. Don't surrender to sin and offer yourself to its services. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God. Instead of thinking of sin as the one that controls your life so that you have to bow down and surrender to it, recognize that Christ is your risen Lord. Bow down to him, surrender to him, and offer your life to him. Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. This is what's difficult about the Christian life. As I just said, you're able to sin, and you're able not to sin. And what that means is sometimes you're going to have a really good day, or a really good couple of days, or even a really good week. You've really been in the Bible lately, or you've really been praying, and your attitude's just been in the right place, your mind's been in a good place, maybe things have just been going well, and you start to think, I'm starting to get a hang of the Christian life. I'm growing. I'm okay. I'm growing as a Christian. You begin to feel good about yourself as a Christian. And then you have some bad days. Maybe you haven't been in God's Word, or you've just been worried. Your mind has just gone places. Maybe you've just been under a lot of stress, and you start thinking, I'm the worst Christian in the world. I feel defeated. I can't, and it's hard to know what to think of yourself, because sometimes you will sin. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you make good decisions and you're trusting the Lord, and other times you think, oh my goodness, what am I? And it's hard to know what you are, because as a Christian, you're able to sin and you're able not to sin. And so Paul says, you got to understand who you are. Okay? He says, you have been brought from death to life. Okay? Jesus died and he rose again. If you're trusting in him, that means you're joined to him, okay? And there's no way, we said this last time, there's no way you can be in relationship with Jesus and not be changed by it. Okay? You can't come into the presence of Jesus and not be changed by him, no matter how bad you are. Christ is greater. He's greater than whatever. You may have the worst sin that perplexes you and haunts you and humbles you, and you can't seem to overcome it. Jesus is greater than your sin. And you can't come into relationship with Jesus and not be changed by it. Paul says that Jesus died and rose again, and that means if you're in relationship with Jesus, there's a sense in which you've died and risen. You've died and been made alive. You've died to the controlling power of sin in your life. Okay, go back. Go back to verse 11, which we looked at last week. Paul says, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. It means dead to the controlling power of sin. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying is, I know sometimes you sin and sometimes you don't, and it's hard to know how to feel about yourself, but he's saying you've got to understand who you are. You are dead to sin. You are a new person. Sometimes you will sin, but that's not who you are anymore. It doesn't define you anymore, and it doesn't have to define you anymore. Okay, you're dead to that. And he says the challenge of the Christian life is to understand that and to get a hold of that by faith, that that no longer defines who you are. It's like an old car. It's beat up. It looks like a junker. But a master mechanic has taken it and begun to work in it and put in a new engine, and everything's new on the inside. Still needs a lot of work. And people who don't know any better would come in and just look at the outside and they see the bad faded paint job and think, what a junker. But that's new on the inside. That's the way you are if you're a Christian. Okay. And sometimes we're focusing on the weaknesses and the sins and the ego, and that's temporary. Okay? If Adam was able to sin, able not to sin. And then mankind fell, so mankind's not able not to sin. Now, in Christ, you're able to sin, you're able not to sin. The day is coming in Christ. The day is coming when you're not going to be able to sin. The day is coming when you're not going to be able to worry. When you go to be with the Lord, you will not worry anymore. You will not be selfish anymore. You will not give in to whatever sins haunt you in this lifetime. So that whatever it is you struggle with now, it is temporary. It's not defining you. It's not part of who you are anymore. And Paul says, you've got to understand that. If you think there's no hope, why are you going to struggle? Sin wants to control your life, and if you think there's no hope of making progress, you're not even going to put up a fight. But Paul wants you to understand. He says, you've got to consider it, get in your head. You've died to that old way of life. You're a new person. You're alive in Christ. You need to understand that you're growing. God has made you a new person. You're growing, and you're changing, and those old habits are melting away. Those scratches can be buffed out, and you're changing. That's why he says, let not sin therefore reign. He's saying, because sin is not your master, don't let it control your life. Sin is going to want to sweet talk you and bully you and threaten you and try to somehow control your life. But Paul says, but you can say no now. You don't have to sin. He says, present yourself to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members, that's the members of your body, your members to God as instruments for unrighteousness. He's saying, it's not enough to just say, well, I don't do drugs. I'm not sleeping around. I hear that from so many people, especially young people. Well, I'm not doing all that stuff. Being a Christian is more than just not doing some really outward sins. Part of being a believer is kneeling before the Lord Jesus and presenting yourself to him and saying, Lord, here are my hands. Here are my abilities. Here's my talents. Here's the things I can do. I can't do much, perhaps, but take me and use me. That's what a believer is. Okay, being a Christian is not just being here on Sunday for a little while, but it's 7 days a week. You're offering yourself to the Lord saying, Lord, I belong to you. You're my master. I'm trusting in your righteousness, and here are my talents, and here's my abilities, and I want to serve you throughout the week, every day. You're presenting yourself to the Lord. You kneel before him as your king, and you offer yourself. Lord, take my lips, take my hands, take my feet, and use me. Paul says, for sin will have no dominion over you. Well, dominion's authority. Okay? He's saying you can say no. Sin doesn't have authority over you anymore. Okay? Since you're not under law, but under grace. All right, you know, grace is God's free blessing. Okay? God, free, undeserved blessing. That's grace. God forgives you just because you ask. God gave his Savior for you just because he loves you. That's grace. It's free. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. Okay. Paul says, you're not under law. Sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under law. God's law is good. It tells us how we need to live. It shows us our need for Christ. But sin uses God's law to point out your flaws. Sin uses God's law to condemn you. Sin uses God's law to tell you, what's the point? Look at you. You're a failure. You're condemned. Sin uses God's law to bring you down. One minute, sin is using God's law to puff up your ego. Look how good you are. You're doing all the right things. And the next minute, it condemns you. Sin cannot be trusted. Sin will try to seduce you and persuade you to do something, you know, and then it beats you up for doing it. But Paul says, you're not under law anymore. You're under grace. And that means that even when you sin, God is gracious. Christ is your Lord, and God's gracious. Jesus is the King of grace. And so he breaks the power of sin in your life. So you're not, so much of our sin comes from the fact that we're trying to justify ourselves. I'm trying to prove myself. I'm trying to do it myself without God. And one minute I feel pretty good about myself because I think I can do it myself. And the next minute I feel guilty and I feel like a failure and a loser. And so much of our sin comes from that, trying to do it yourself without God. The whole message of the gospel that Paul is trying to bring home is that if you're trusting in Jesus, you're not without God. You're united to God. You're in fellowship with God. He's with you in all of this. He's the King of grace, so that when you stumble, he shows you grace and he picks you back up again and he's changing you and he's teaching you and he's helping you love God more and more and more. That's a king that you want to serve. You don't want to serve sin. Again, sin is going to seduce you and persuade you and con you into doing something, and then it kicks you for doing it. Jesus pours out grace upon you and encourages you to do the right thing, and then even when you struggle or even when you sin, blesses you and forgives you and pardons you and draws you. You're not controlled by sin if you're in fellowship with Jesus. If you're in fellowship with the King of grace. And so don't give in to the despair. You know, we can be sorrowful. We can be sad at times. We can grieve. That's natural. But you don't give in to despair. You don't give in to hopelessness. You don't give in to ego or to lust. Don't let sin control you. Because in Christ, you're forgiven. You're pardoned, you're united to the Lord, you have the Spirit of God. And so instead, present yourself to the Lord Jesus. Offer yourself to God to serve him as the King of grace. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, the practice of breaking sinful habits is hard. And may come slowly, and there's lots of ups and downs along the road, and sometimes we become a little too proud of ourselves, a little too smug, and other times we get down on ourselves, and it all comes down to trying to do these things without you. Lord, we need you. And apart from you, we can do nothing, but Lord, in Christ, we can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we pray, Lord. We pray that you would help us not to give in. The struggle is tough sometimes. Help us not to give in, but to take hold of Jesus who has taken hold of us. Help us, Lord, to offer ourselves afresh to God each day to serve him as our Lord and King. We ask this, Lord. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.